I just want to pray. So, Lord, we just want to give you this time. And, Lord, we want to, Lord, I pray that you would use me wisely in communicating what you want to communicate, Father, that Lord, we would go home from this time with being just ever so slightly adjusted by you, in Jesus' name. So in Proverbs 14:4, it says, where there are no oxen, the manger is clean. And there's something about, you know, like, so what that's saying is, you know, if you're going to have oxen, which we all want oxen, we all want resources and provision and all those things, but he's saying where there's no oxen, there's no mess, but where there's oxen, there's a mess. And I wrote down in my notes this morning, it said, being part of a body of believers or a family is a messy privilege. And the reality of being part of a community like ours, a congregation like ours, is there's mess involved. That yes, there's joy and there's friendship and there's intimacy and there's fun and there's just we share life together and we enjoy relationship together. But the other part of it is there's a messy side of it, and so. I've shared little bits and pieces of my story over the last few years we've been here, but for those of you who don't know, I come from a dysfunctional family. I come from a broken family. My parents divorced when I was about 3 years old, and by that time my mom was twice divorced, single mother of five kids, and I do have a few fond memories of my childhood. I don't have a lot of fond memories. It was messy. There was a lot of dysfunction in my family. There was a lot of brokenness in my family. There was drug abuse in my family. There was divorce in my family. There was immorality in my family. There were broken relationships in my family. And so I came from a kind of a chaotic upbringing. But the reality is in family, when, you know, the more people they have, the more people you have, the more opportunity there is for mess. So we were a family of seven. It was messy. And, you know, church can be like that. As we grow in numbers, as we grow in intimacy, as we grow in relationship, it can get really messy. It can get to the place where we are dealing with a lot of pain. We're dealing with people's past and with their sin. We're dealing with brokenness. We're dealing with insecurity. We're dealing with pride. We're dealing with rebellion. Being part of a congregation, being part of a church, being part of a family means it's going to get spicy at times. And in a time like this, when it's like this unprecedented time in our life, you know, I mean, none of us were around for the last pandemic, which I think was over 100 years ago. It's not unprecedented. It's just unprecedented to us. And so it can get really messy and difficult. And yet in Psalm 68, it says, Father of the fatherless and protector of widows is God in his holy habitation. It says, God settles the solitary in a home. He leads out the prisoners to prosperity. It says, God puts the lonely in families. He takes us in our brokenness, in our messiness, and he puts us into a family, and he does that very intentionally. He does it for the reason of, like, he wants to put us in a place where that's his way of, it says he's a father to the fatherless, so he takes us and he puts us in family because he wants to father us, and that's his method for doing it, by putting us into family. And so here we are, and we're in the middle of this kind of weird time, and there are people around us, and they tend to want to, some people want to drift. Some people want to detach. Some people want to slip away. Some people have this time has been exceptionally difficult. We had a men's meeting yesterday, and it was really a great time to be together with the men. And I was talking about how, like, for a lot of us, we haven't really quite put our finger on how difficult this little 4-month season has been. And there are people who have struggled who wouldn't normally struggle. There's things about the pressure that comes through change and this that causes us to come in contact with some of our weaknesses and some of the character areas that God wants to deal with. But He didn't leave us by ourselves. He brought us into family. He brought us into relationship. He brought us into a covenantal relationship. And it's into that context that we hear that Paul begins to speak into the Galatians in Galatians chapter 6. He says, brother, if any of you is caught in a transgression, or it says, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual, restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourselves, lest you too be tempted. He says, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. What Paul is saying there is, hey, watch out for each other. Look after each other. Because we're, as human beings, we have the tendency towards, one, sin. Two, brokenness. Three, offense. Each one of us has these different areas of our lives that God wants to work in and work on. And Paul's saying, hey, you have a responsibility to one another to bear one another's burdens. I feel like, I don't know if it was Lucille that practically quoted that. She said, look out for each other. And Jesus is, when he says, like, listen, you, he says, when, if, he says, we have to be mindful of one another. He says, if any shepherd had 99 sheep and one goes missing, he goes out and he looks for that one. And when he finds that one, he throws him on his shoulder. He brings him home and he calls his friends and they celebrate the sheep that was missing. My sheep that was missing, I found him. I brought him home. Let's celebrate. And there are those that may, there may be those among us or those around you who are experiencing difficulty in this time. There may be those around you who you haven't seen in a while. You haven't seen, they've drifted. And what Paul's here is saying here in Galatians chapter 6, he says, hey, bear one another's burdens. Look out for each other. He's saying it's our responsibility to check in with each other, to see how the others are doing. The Bible says that we're called to be a priesthood of all believers. And what is so common amongst the church today is that we have there is a culture that says, I need to get my needs met. So we go and we think and we look for the thing that we actually don't need the most. So much of the church is looking for a worship experience. So much of the church is looking for an entertainment on a Sunday morning. And because we have a tendency to want to, you know, like when we realize that we have issues, our tendency is we want to hide those things. We want to pull back from being known. And what Paul's saying here is actually the thing that you fear the most is the thing that you need the most. You need to be in a community where people can know you. And then when those people know you, we need to be committed to one another in a way where we begin to bear one another's burdens. We look at what is going on with each other. And we press in and we fight for real relationship, real intimacy, real love and genuine care for one another. We don't settle for a superficial relationship, but we press in for the real thing. Paul's saying, hey, if anyone among you is sinning, he says, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spiritual gentleness. I mean, and often we find ourselves being the kind of people that, like, man, we find out someone's sinning, and it's like, that's our license to feel better about ourselves. We think, man, you know, so-and-so is drinking again, or so-and-so is yelling at his wife, or so-and-so has fallen into immorality. And because that person, it's like all of a sudden I can say, whoa, that's not me. And we use it, instead of looking at that person and saying, how can I help that person? Instead of looking at that person and saying, I have a biblical obligation to help, to do my best to restore that person. Instead of doing that, we cast judgment towards them. And we push them away and we say, you know, you're a sinner, man. I don't want. When our biblical is like, we love you. We want to restore. We want to draw you close. We want to see you restored. Last week we had our friends Roger and Tracy share their testimony. So Anna Margaret and I have known Roger and Tracy for over 20 years, and we've seen them go through some really difficult things in that time, but nothing more difficult than what they've experienced in the last 6 to 7 months, 8 months. And they were able to, and so when things came out about what had happened in their life, we were able to call them and say, hey, listen, we just want you to know we have a safe place for you to come, because we believe that God wants to restore you. And so for some reason that I can't quite grasp, they said, okay, we'll come. And we saw them, and it was touch and go. I mean, there were moments where it didn't feel like it was gonna work. But ultimately, God has done an amazing work of restoration in them. And we just got to be a part of it. We just got to be, it was just like, it was such a privilege. And that's what God's called us to. He's called us to this messy privilege of being in each other's lives. You know, y'all, I don't think we have any visitors here today. I don't think we do. And most of us have probably gone through Starting Points, and we've all, most of us have, spoken out the words, what's in my fridge is yours, and what's in your fridge is mine. And it's this beautiful privilege that we get to be in each other's lives. I don't think I think Sean and Lindsay, I mean, I'm just thinking about, I was like, had this, like this moment of, I got a little emotional thinking about what God's done in your life to bring you into this context and then take you out of this context and so you can take it with you. But for a lot of you, you may have gotten saved here, you may have grown up here, this may be what you know, but the reality is for a lot of us, it's very, you don't know how rare it is. You know how rare it is that you have a community leader that will get in your business and not just take a, hey, I'm doing fine as an answer. You don't know how rare it is that you have an elder who will get in your business, who will ask you, who will follow up on you, who will chase you down, who will go after you, who will love you, who will keep coming after you and keep coming after you and keep coming after you. And this church, this congregation is full of living, breathing, walking examples of Galatians chapter 6, of people who came in broken. If people came in full of sin and who've been restored because this congregation is full of people who will bear one another's burdens. And I just felt this morning as during the worship time and this week as I've been preparing and thinking about this morning, I just felt like God wants to strengthen that muscle among us. that there are some people that we, as we talk, there are going to be some people that will pop into your mind and you'll think, I haven't seen that person. I think they may have drifted off. Or, you know what, there's something going on with that person. And I feel like God wants to remind us that we are not a bunch of consumer Christians. That this isn't a church that we attend. We don't attend church in Josh Chan. We are the church. Yeah. Raise the church. I'm the church. We're the church. This building's not the church. In fact, I get like a really annoyed when people call this a sanctuary, because this isn't a sanctuary to me. This is a sanctuary. This is a building. This is an auditorium. I don't refer to this as the sanctuary. I'm the sanctuary. You're the sanctuary. I'm the church. You're the church. And I felt like God just wanted to remind us this morning that we are called to bear one another's burdens. I felt like God wanted to challenge us this morning and say, who haven't you seen? Who's drifted off? Who's left? Who's struggling? Who needs you to call them this week? Who needs you to love them this week? Who needs you to walk with them this week? Who needs you to not give up on them this week? See, Roger and Tracy, we've known them for a long time. We know the people that they know. We know the church. We know their friends. I'm telling you, a lot of people gave up on them. In fact, I asked Roger, he can count all his friends on one hand, two hands maybe. He can count all his friends on two hands. Because it's more common for us to say, oh, you did something wrong, I don't want anything to do with you. Rather than, you did something wrong, it's my, let me be a part of helping you, bringing you back. And I just felt like God wants to remind us, we're a priesthood of all believers. While we as elders work hard to shepherd the flock of God, and we as elders will have to give an account for each and every one of you. And so I spent time this week poring over our community list. And Margaret spends time poring over the community list. Oh, that corona gets me. But we spend time going over the list our congregation list, we have over 500 people on it. People are going to slip past us as hard as we try. But if we're a priesthood of all believers, if we're a congregation that takes the priesthood seriously and says, hey, as a priest, I minister to the saints. It's not the elders, it's not the guy with the microphone, it's not, you know, it's me. I'm a priest. And I have a familial obligation to every person in this room. I have an obligation to everyone in the room. You have an obligation to everyone in the room. As we do that, we'll see that people are loved and that we together will move closer to God. We together will become the people that God wants us to be. God's called us to be a priesthood of all believers. So my challenge to you this week is, just like Jesus said, when he said that, if there's one sheep missing, who wouldn't go after him? My challenge to you this week is just in a time of prayer, to say, God, is there someone? Is there someone that I know of that I know I need to reach? Or is there someone that I don't know that needs me to reach for him? And that we take seriously our obligation, just like Lucille was saying. Sometimes it's as simple as, hey, can we have coffee? Hey, you want to go for a walk? Hey, can we go for a run together? Hey, can we sit and... It's sometimes just as simple as that. That it's just going for a coffee and talking about, hey, how's your life? And asking God, is there something you want to do through me? Is there Sometimes it's as simple as that, and we think it's a big, we don't think it's a big deal, but it can be a big deal. I just want to encourage you. I want us to be, man, I want us to be so on fire for Jesus. I want us to be so in love with Jesus that we love each other. That we don't let one person slip out of our away from us. I want us to be so in love with Jesus that we say, man, you know, Lord, I'll be inconvenienced because I want to love. Can we do that? So I want to ask, and sorry that this wasn't my best preach. I think I let that, that just the time constraints are, it's challenging. We used to, and when we were kids, there was a commercial on TV. It was called Evelyn Wood's Speed Reading Course. Did you guys have that here? So they had a speed reading course, and they would teach you how to read a book in an hour. You'd read a whole book. And now I'm having to learn this speed preaching course now. But man, can I just ask, can we just stand together? And I just want to pray for us. And before I pray, I want to just remind you of a couple things. So on your way out, make sure you drop your peg in the bowl. I'm supposed to announce in every meeting who the compliance manager is or the compliance officer is. So that's Byron for us. So if you ever have any questions about compliance with the protocols that we have to follow, Byron's our guy. I want to also encourage you that this week that I want to remind you that to connect with your communities. Because what I'm talking about, a lot of what I'm talking about happens in community. And that's important. And you being there is important. You being there matters. I know sometimes it's hard to get on another Zoom after you've been on. But sometimes that just you being there makes a difference in what we're talking about this morning. But I want to pray for us. And I want to encourage us that we take this biblical obligation seriously. This biblical privilege is a messy privilege, as I said. So Lord, we want to give you, we want to give you this next week. Lord, we want to say just at least for this next week, we want to take your word seriously. We want to do what your word says, and we want to bear one another's burdens. Lord, I just pray for the next week that each one of us would look for an opportunity to reach out for those other people that you've placed in our lives, whether they're part of our congregation or part of Josh Jen or not part of Josh Jen, but they're part of the wider body of Christ. Lord, that you would, Lord, give us a sensitivity to know who you want us to reach for. And Lord, that we would commit ourselves to carrying others towards you. Lord, we thank you. Lord, I thank you for every single person here, God. I thank you for those who are thriving and those who are surviving and those who need help. God, I pray that not a single person would lack what they need. Lord, we worship you in Jesus' name. Amen.